Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is November 22nd, 2023. We're here to help you hump. What good is a stuffing if it doesn't come from humping?
Oh, but you had that one prepared and ready to go?
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
Really?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I'm not going to tell anybody that we're going to prep their gravy for them for the next 60 minutes from all this humping we're about to do. Leave a thumbs up on this video. It greatly helps us. Get your super chats in at youtube.com/Fightful. That's how we got these nifty little play buttons for hitting 100K. We also have Humper Chats over at humperchats.com. That allows you to leave your question statement before we go on the air. All that stuff. We'll be talking about a lot of things that we have reported at FightfulSelect.com. And Jimmy, right after this, just $5 a month, $54 a year, we'll be over at FightfulSelect.com for the 200th edition of The List Goes On, where I am going to have some AEW news on the Swerve Hangman match, as well as some AEW injury news, some good AEW injury news.
Oh, good.
On The List Goes On today. So, yeah, please join us over there as well. Support original reporting in this day of aggregation and lack of context.
Oh, yeah.
And quite frankly, people deciding that we reported things that we didn't report, which will be a topic today. Jimmy, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Glad to be back on the show. And I'm so glad of the week that it is, but I think I know somebody even more glad, and that would be Sean Ross Sapp. How happy are you that Survivor Series is finally here?
I am painfully anxious. And like at one point, Jimmy, my plan, because usually WWE does a junket before pay-per-views, was to fly from Lexington to Chicago. The place where the junket would have been was within walking distance of the airport. I would have went there. Then Friday, I would have flown to Charlotte, driven to Winston-Salem, stayed overnight, done dozens of interviews, drove back to Charlotte, flew to Cincinnati, then watched the Bengals game Sunday. Also, Doja Cat is in Charlotte Sunday, which I really wanted to see. And now, Jimmy, the Bengals star quarterback is out for the year, so I have already planned to go to Cincinnati and not enjoy myself in Winston-Salem, but last year I got COVID, so it's probably best.
So why didn't you do Chicago then? If you
there's no junket Friday, and I don't blame them for why they told me to, because I was like, hey, y'all doing a junket? They're like, well, no, we didn't want to tell talent, hey, we got to pull you away from your family the night before to make sure you get to Chicago.
Oh, that's cool.
Friday morning, and I really respect that. So
Thanksgiving too, yeah.
It's one of those things where I was like, okay, yeah.
Well, I have seen people lately on social media, you know, I like to use the Twitter as a gauge. I've seen people lately, media illiterate people, Sean Rossap.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Who are claiming that Sean Rossap is backpedaling on the CM Punk news. And I'll tell you this as like, I guess I'm an outside observer, but I'm not in a way, I guess.
Sure.
It's completely made up. Like with all due respect to you, I check out everything you do. With all due respect to you, Sean never once said Punk will be there. He never once said Punk will not be there. He has simply said what WWE personnel have said to him. But people lately, because people are, they're convinced Punk's going to be there. So now they're like, oh, Sean's backpedaling. So what do you think? So the thing that interests me the most is, do you think the crowd's going to hijack the show even though they have now announced Orton? No, you don't think they will?
I think that you might see some chance.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
But I mean, right now, fans are largely happy with the WWE product. It's a hot product.
Yes, it is.
It isn't some like creative cave in which there is no light at the end of the tunnel. People are by and large enjoying what they see on WWE programming, as highlighted by this show selling out or nearly selling out while CM Punk was still like doing AEW stuff. Like this, people had, you know, this thing was a pretty quick sellout, right? So, or at least a pretty quick ticket mover. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people decided they were going to go to Survivor Series while CM Punk was main eventing Saturday nights for AEW.
Yeah, well, according to WrestleTix, they've distributed now over 17,000 tickets for Survivor Series.
Incredible.
Plus SmackDown on Friday, same building, they've distributed over 15,600 tickets. So they're going to have a couple of big crowds. Do you think that WWE is planning to do anything to negate CM Punk chance, or do you think they're just rolling with it and that's how it's going to be?
So I'll go back to how I first got the information, right? Because around Fastlane, I probably would have been like, yeah, it would make sense if they just brought in Punk, et cetera, et cetera. Then 3 days later, I got that phone call from someone who works directly with Triple H, to my understanding, speaking on behalf of the company. And it was, we have no plans. He is not signed. We have not had talks. He is not expected at Survivor Series, and we don't want people getting tickets thinking that he'll be there. Since then, I have followed up with that person as recently as Monday, and they said nothing has changed. Now, during that period, I thought, you know what? Triple H surely will shut this down. I know he's done interviews this week, and even when asked, hasn't like outright shut it down, hasn't offered up anything, like nothing at all. But from what I was told, he was expecting to be asked after Fastlane and was going to be like, well, don't expect him to be there. That didn't happen. So nobody asked, and that was that. Punk has told his own friends he's not working Survivor Series. That's what he's told. He said that he is open to working for WWE in the future. I believe he's going to make attempts to mend fences, but here's the thing I brought up on NXT's post-show last night. So many things have happened since when he showed up backstage at Raw, unannounced. Sure, he made amends with The Miz. Sure, he extended his hand to Triple H. However, since then, there was the issue with WBD and Collision and that video shoot. He kicked Christopher Daniels and Ryan Nemeth out of Collision. He got into a fight. He got terminated. This wouldn't be a thing to even broach had those things not happened.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and say CM Punk is not going to be at Survivor Series because it is pro wrestling, and the comparison that I draw is Dakota Kai did not know she was going to be at SummerSlam last year, 2 days before she was at SummerSlam. When I talked to Karrion Kross after the little Billy Batty incidents that we had and we were chuckling about, and I was like, oh, so you're going back to WWE? And he's like, what are you talking about? And he was dead serious. He had not yet got that call, and he was on WWE TV less than 5 days later. It's pro wrestling. Anything can happen. It wouldn't shock me to hear that CM Punk reached out to Triple H and had like a conversation or something like that, or a let's smooth things over thing. WWE's internal stance to me, to others that have asked, and to talent and creative, by the way, is that he's not planned for Survivor Series. I don't book the talent, so I can't say he won't be there.
Yep. I just don't see anything for him on that show. So I know some people are talking about, oh, Shinsuke is calling out Punk. Shinsuke's not booked.
I heard Survivor he wasn't Series. On the talent list for Survivor Series. That's what I heard. That can always change, obviously.
It can,
right?
Sure. Like, yeah. But right now he's not. And when I look at the card, like, he's not going to get involved with the men's judgment, the men's war games. He's not going to. The only thing that would make maybe any sense is like he faces Gunther after Gunther beats Miz. There's really nothing else.
And the way that I look at it, last year Survivor Series had 5 matches. This year it's got 5 matches right now.
Yeah. War games going to go a little long though.
Saw some people bummed about No Devil at Full Gear, but No Devil with Adam Cole present seems like he's 100% the devil. Thoughts? And then Paul Moss says if Punk were to be the devil in AEW, any chance at all that Bucks would align with him? What a double swerve that would be. No, I think the money is in a Punk-Bucks-Omega feud, if anything. That would be the biggest angle in AEW history if that for some reason ever happened. But I was outright told he's not the AEW devil.
I don't understand. So I know how wrestling fans like the fantasy book and stuff. I get that.
Sure.
You know, I'm like a business guy. How the guy was terminated with cause. And he was terminated with cause because Tony Khan, by his own admission, felt fearful for his safety. And when you terminate a guy with cause, there's no payout. And that's probably why they did it. They were comfortable with what they had in terms of legalities. Why would Punk go back unless he's really under financial pressure? Why would Punk go back when he's terminated with cause? And why would Tony Khan want him back after he felt that safety issue? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. When I saw people suggesting, oh, Punk's the devil, makes no sense. The guy was terminated with cause. I think there's no chance at all. And people are just fantasy booking. We'll see what happens. I don't expect him there. And again, to your credit, or if that's even the right word, you've never said he's going to be there. You've never said he's not going to be there. People are throwing all this bullshit on social media to try to put shade on you for no reason. So we'll just see how it plays out.
And like, listen, I've had people that are like, oh, well, you changed your mind on Vince not being involved in WWE. And I'm like, well, yeah, because he forced his way back into WWE. That's the way that news works. To sit there and try to pretend or ignore that news evolves, changes, and adapts would be very bad at my job. Like, that'd be very, very terrible. And I don't know. Like, I'm just... Oh, I want Saturday to come and go.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
I've had people that say, oh, you hate Punk. I get along fine with Punk. I wish the guy a happy birthday a couple weeks ago. He's like, thanks. It was a great one. Like, we get along just fine. Yeah. It's just, unfortunately, the majority of the time that I've had to talk to that guy, it's something negative. And that's unfortunate. I hate that because he is sincerely probably one of my top 3 favorite performers of all time to watch. And there is still, to this day, no match that I would ever want to see more than Stone Cold Steve Austin and CM Punk, even just for the promos. Give me the promos leading up to WrestleMania. In fact, if I were WWE, I would talk to Roman and Seth and you know the other top talent and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try to bring him in against Stone Cold Steve Austin. Y'all don't got to see him. Y'all don't got to deal with him. He's going to work this program. We'll see if he can do it and behave and all that stuff. And it can do big business for us.
It would.
It'd do enormous business. It would go viral in an incredible way. And let's see how that goes.
And you know what I would do to really see how serious Punk is? Punk takes a stunner 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Just to see how serious Punk is. You know.
Yes. Because, you know, 12 years ago, Punk wins that match, hands down. You got to put the younger guy over. Today, what's it matter?
Yes.
Today, what does it matter?
I agree. Did it hurt Kevin Owens? No, not one iota.
Not a single bit. Kevin Owens wanted to do it for the love of God.
Yeah.
Like, listen, that's sincerely the biggest match I want to see. And I don't care if it would be terrible in the ring. I don't give a damn. I want to see it, but
yeah. I mean, Austin still took a suplex on the floor.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
He can take a GTS. Let me tell you, buddy, I'm constructing a match next week where there's going to be some smoke and mirrors. Uh-huh. So I know a little bit about that right now. Uh-huh. Josh Mansfield says, wouldn't Punk still be under non-compete clause? So this is interesting. Punk said a couple months ago, you know what? I'm going to be a free agent, or I'm going to have all the time in the world for the next 2 months. Now, hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When WWE is telling me in October we haven't had talks, he's not planned, it's so funny because people will be like, have you ever considered they're lying to you? No, never, guys. Never considered that somebody in wrestling might be working. Never. Then I had people say, you ever considered they can't talk to him because of a non-compete? No, I completely ignored that too. That's why I asked multiple times after that period in which he said, and I will ask all the way up to Saturday evening at about 7 p.m. And I've told these people this too. I'm like, listen, you see the can of worms that this opened. So
I can tell you this just based on my experience. When you're terminated with cause, the non-compete's negated. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there was a non-compete. I think the reason that he said, I got nothing to do for 2 months, is because he was timing it when Survivor Series was.
I think so too.
So I don't think there was a non-compete because you give a payout when there's a non-compete. And in order to give a payout, you're terminated without cause.
And I want to make this clear too. When I talked to the person from WWE, they said, we don't want to set unrealistic expectations. I came back immediately and said, you are setting unrealistic expectations when your talent and commentators are very clearly doing tongue-in-cheek references to things that they can then claim plausible deniability on. Now, I'm not talking about completely ominous stuff like, where are you? I'm waiting for you. I'm talking about lines from Punk promos and stuff like that. Very clearly wink, wink, nudge, nudge type of stuff. Even like people said, well, Shinsuke used the GTS. When's the last time we seen him do that?
Been a while now, yeah.
Been a while. Been over a month. Since Fastlane, since that talk specifically that I had, I'm not saying that I had anything to do with it, but I was like, you are setting those expectations. But like the things that people are finding now, we're not talking about a Bray Wyatt QR code here. We're talking about incredible stretches where people are just finding like a couple of words that might have been mentioned. We're talking about people finding like letters and URLs on Instagram that you can't even edit or change. It's just very, very
strange. Someone was looking at like the smoke in a graphic for Survivor Series on the poster or something. Yeah, they're definitely stretching for sure.
Oh my God. Well, if you're trying to stretch your dollar, NordVPN can help. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let's get into these super chats and humper chats. Jimmy, call me crazy, says people misinterpretate you saying what you're told, not what you believe is happening. You just report what you've been told. Now, there certainly is some element to what I believe is happening that has to go into the vetting process, but I don't get to, like, for example, there was a guy last year who was very brazen saying, Drew is winning the title from Roman at Clash at the Castle, and was making bets and was trying to do little Twitter scoops based on that. It wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. It didn't happen. And that person let their agenda creep into that. What I say on a podcast as what I like or enjoy has nothing to do with the news writing that we do, because when it comes to that, I don't have a say in it, but I do have to exercise better judgment on some things. Like if a wrestler tells me something so ridiculous that I can't believe it, and then it doesn't get verified, well, then I can't run it. Adam High, thank you so much. Paul Anthony.
Sorry, Adam High had a question. He just didn't put it in the super chat.
Yeah, so just so you guys know, if you have a question and it doesn't fit in the super chat, you got to up that super chat, because it basically, the more you spend, it allows you to put a certain number of letters, but he didn't know that, so we're going to say, Okay. Just got in. Sorry if I missed it. Rumors are rampant in the NCAA wrestling world that Gable will return to wrestle second semester. Hearing anything? That wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. He's pretty much...
Gable Steveson?
Pretty much got the ability to do whatever he wants, but he was wrestling as of a week and a half ago, so
right.
I haven't heard anything. Too. Yeah. Paul Anthony Moss says, with Iron Claw movie coming out soon, do you think it's in AEW's best interest to try to get some mainstream media exposure by doing promotion for it? Yeah, for sure. I would have Zac Efron and the other fella, I can't remember his name, he was on The Bear and Shameless.
Jeremy something.
Is his name. He's related to Jake something from Impact Wrestling.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should have him on, Jimmy.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, they probably want payment. Like, I don't know if you're going to, you know, promote a movie. I realize that MJF's in it, but I don't know if you're going to promote a movie for free. But sure. But if you could do a trade-off and get Efron out there, it might not be bad. It's almost like Savage Slim Jim Flair and his energy drink. You know what I mean?
There you go. Jay Miller says, any updates on R-Truth or Dexter? R-Truth was filming a music video. I mean, R-Truth can be on screen doing what he does no matter what, but you do got to remember the guy is 51 years old. There is a chance. Maybe he's like, you know what? I'm done. Dexter, I just haven't heard of any creative plans. Have you heard of any WWE interest in Camille? That's a little more complicated than just WWE interest, but I haven't heard, but I also haven't asked either. Seb says, why does Triple H hate Katana and Kayden? They're the best women, but they prefer to push makeshift teams. It was the same story in NXT. I don't think he hates Katana or Kayden, or else they wouldn't be on the main roster, or in WWE, they would be cut. I don't know that. I think they're missing that one personality thing from a character standpoint. I don't know them interpersonally, but that will make them connect. And once they find that, that will help an awful lot. Chelsea found that. That's why she stood out.
But I think there's probably a tag title run in their future somewhere down the line. But I don't think Triple H hates him, Jimmy.
Well, I will tell you this in terms of the makeshift team thing. So when they had that four-way match to determine top contenders on Raw, the first thing I noticed was that Tegan and Natty had matching gear.
Yeah.
And so, sort of. They did. It was the same colors and everything.
It was not the same. It was not the same.
Pink and blue, I think.
It was somewhat. Like, you could tell that she went and found, like, what she found closest to Tegan's.
It looked pretty close. Like, they didn't look like a makeshift team.
I'm going to pull it up, Jimmy.
Because you know who did look like a makeshift team? Ivy Nile and Maxine. They look like a makeshift team.
Well, they were. They were a team.
Exactly.
Last week. I don't think it was exactly.
I thought they looked pretty close. Maybe not exactly, but it looked pretty close to me. Like, they look like they're going with them as a tag team.
So I was able to find the picture and I will pull it up here, but you will see what I mean as the picture gets pulled up. But also, I don't know if fashion is something that I want Jimmy breaking down here.
See Adam Sandler at the movie premiere?
See what I mean?
It's amazing.
Not quite the same.
All right, fine. But it was, you could tell they made some kind of an effort.
An effort was made, yes, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. The effort was made. Who do you see as the top WWE stars in 5 years? Where do you see WWE and AEW in 5 years? I think WWE will be number one. AEW will be number two. I think Rhea will still be right there among the top in WWE.
She's young, yep.
And from the men's side, who do you look at? Montez Ford would be one that I could see near the top of WWE.
Yep, Montez Ford. I mean, by then, you're talking 5 years. LA Knight's probably done. Cody will still be kicking. Cody will still be around.
He sure will.
Rollins, maybe. Because a lot of the guys now are getting up in their 30s.
I mean, they'll be in their early 40s. They'll still be doing it if they want to.
LA Knight's like 42 or 43 now.
Yeah, but like Rollins, if Reigns wants to, Cody wants to, they'll still be there.
How old is Reigns now?
37, 38.
So, yeah. Especially when you're working 11 matches a year, right?
Yeah. He'll be on the Brock schedule 3 or 4 matches a year at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. On the AEW side, MJF's going to be there unless by then he goes to WWE. He's really young. So, MJF's going to be there. Who else is there? How old is Swerve? Because Swerve is starting to make a run now.
33, so he'll still be there.
He's making a run. Swerve's going to get a shot. I don't know about
Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia is going to be really good really for young a really too. Long time.
Yep.
He's going to be, I think, the next generation's Bryan Danielson, in my opinion, but in his own way. He's got such a different charisma to that of Bryan Danielson, where I compare it where obviously like wrestler first, but we have seen it shine through with his personality and all that as well. Tony says Mox finally gets to face his hero, Killshot. Yep. A Continental Classic. We're going to be talking about it. Amir says, any update on Mania 41? Last I heard was Minnesota was in the running, or at least that's what they want people to think. We got, here we go. Matthew Hook says, thoughts on the Continental Classic? AEW killed it.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, Bill says Continental Classic will hump. No Kenny Omega. Once again, Jericho screws us. That's funny.
I might be in the minority. I must be in the minority. I really respect Chris Jericho a lot. I respect him a lot.
Yeah, it's just at this point, the work isn't.
I get it. But like he was their MVP year one. If you don't have Chris Jericho year one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he's still got plenty. Why no Don Callis camp family in the Continental Classic? I would have loved to have seen Takeshita in there. And Adam High says, thanks for answering my previous question. Thank you, Adam. That you didn't have to do that, but I appreciate you doing it.
I was actually, even though he's not under contract yet, I was expecting Ospreay.
I wasn't because he set that stage and he said, I'm not coming over just yet. But next year, I'm sure he'll be in it. So here are the rules of the Continental Classic, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. 20-minute time limit. 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw. Everyone banned from ringside. They are not permitting any outside interference, which also begs the question, why don't you just not permit that ever? That should be a thing. But there's a gold league, there's a blue league. The winners of those two leagues face off at World's End. And next year, the winner will defend again. But it is for the New Japan Strong title, It is for the ROH World title and the newly minted Continental Classic Championship. And I see people saying, whoa, 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 we don't need more belts. This is quite literally adding nothing. This is consolidating two belts with that third belt that is being added there. There is no new title. For everybody that's like, they got too many titles. They've got the same number of cable TV hours as WWE. Same number of title belts.
I think the complaint is because they have all the Ring of Honor belts on their show. I think that's the complaint.
You know what? Same number of belts as WWE if you include or exclude ROH and NXT. Same number. But Eddie Kingston kind of slipped up over the weekend and had said, like, I'm defending it in every match. Not necessarily. Tony Khan kind of backtracked on that today. They'll be on the line, but not for individual matches. But here are the leagues, Jimmy. The Gold League has Jon Moxley, Swerve Strickland, Mark Briscoe, Roosh, Jay Lethal, and Switchblade Jay White. The Blue League has Bryan Danielson, Andrade, Brody King, Claudio Castagnoli, Eddie Kingston, and Daniel Garcia. I think this is a very, very good mix here. I saw a lot of people groaning over Jay Lethal. Listen, I'm with you. He hasn't had... Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, we got way too much of Jay Lethal with the Jeff Jarrett, Sanjay stuff. And I think a lot, some people just want a break, right? Want a break.
He can go, though, you know?
We're not talking like 2018. Hopefully we see him go. Hopefully this is what makes people go, oh, damn. But what do you think about the field, the rules, them doing this? I feel if they would have announced this instead of the all-in thing and swapped the way they did those announcements, there'd be a lot of different perception here. But what are you thinking?
So I'll be the first to admit that for me, this kind of a tournament doesn't appeal to me the way that it does, say, AEW's core fan base.
Sure.
And the sentiment that I've seen on social media now going back a few months has been AEW's losing its identity. AEW is not what it was 4 years ago. So it's pretty clear to me that they're doing this because they want to appeal to that core base. You didn't mute yourself, Sean Ross Sapp, but they don't.
My bad. I just got to let people know I'm blowing my nose, right?
But they want to.
I can't be doing it over here.
Yeah, I guess.
People are going to check the reflection.
And then wiping after a jet. But they want to appeal to their core base, and I'm all for that because, I mean, their numbers have been dwindling this year, so I'm all for them doing that. Tony Khan, I couldn't help but notice that he referred to them as fighters. Did you notice that? He didn't call them wrestlers, talent, whatever. He called them fighters. And so he's definitely trying to appeal to that core base that misses the in-ring because AEW was always about the in-ring, not so much the stories. And they've been trying, I think, to appeal. I saw somebody on social media that said Tony Khan's trying too hard to make everybody like him, or he's trying too hard to make everybody happy. You can't do that. And so I think he's trying to appeal to the core base. And I hope that it sounds like everybody's excited about it. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that it made a lot of sense to do. I think that now as a result, they need to scale back on other tournaments like title contender tournaments and the like. The Owens. That's fine. I would scale back on other tournaments, even though this one is around Robin and much different.
But is this going to be for it? Is that belt going to be like a once a year tournament thing, like the Owen Hart Cup? So like they're going to be awarded it, but then they're not going to defend it on television? Because like, why would
you? No, I mean, here's to my understanding is that belt then becomes the Triple Crown within AEW, ROH, and New Japan. It is a title that is represented throughout all three. And then next year, that person is effectively going to put that on the line again in next year's tournament. At least as far, that's what I'm assuming. The winner will be in next year's tournament, they said. But that doesn't necessarily mean that person will still have that Triple Crown by then. Right. But it would make an awful lot of sense.
Okay, I guess my only question is, if that's what they do with it, then if you could just get a title shot on Dynamite any week, why do a tournament where you got to go through 12 guys versus just challenging the champion on Dynamite any given week? Like if that's the direction they're going, I thought that the belt was going to be a trophy like the Owen Hart Cup.
No, it's a belt. It is a belt. They had it.
No, I know it's going to be a belt.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember when Braun won a tournament in Saudi and he got a belt, but it was a trophy though, right? Shit.
I thought it was the greatest Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought
He won a belt there. It was Yeah.
No, when I say trophy, I don't mean physically a trophy. I mean,
okay.
The belt was treated like a trophy.
Sure, you're right.
So I thought the tournament was going to be like that, but you're saying this is a belt that they're going to then defend regularly on television.
Yeah. It appears. Yeah, it's the Triple Crown. BL says, Jimmy, how are you liking the Leafs this year? Sorry for your Bengals, Sean. Jimmy is an Oilers fan.
The Oilers are sucking shit. They're one of the worst teams in the league this year. And so, not much I can say. The only thing I'll say about the Leafs, they're very much like the Oilers. Their defense and goaltending will only get them so far. The Leafs, as they're structured, are not going to win a cup because their defense is shit and their goaltending shit. Kind of like the Oilers, except the Oilers aren't scoring either. So
they're doing all right so far.
They're outscoring their problems, the Leafs. That's what they're doing.
That's all you got to do. It's outscore your problems one game at a time, Jimmy.
Yeah, but come the playoffs when things are tight defensively, good luck.
Yes. Alyssa says, I blame you for whatever happens this weekend, Sean. I appreciate that, Alyssa. I appreciate that. You know, here's a fun fact, Jimmy. Yep. Anytime you see somebody say some stupid ass shit on the internet, you can, if you follow Alyssa here on Twitter, you go to that dumbass's profile, the dumbass, not Alyssa, and it will say followed by Alyssa 100% of the time.
100%. Almost like John Cena. John Cena's account follows everything.
Listen, Chris Van Vliet too. I see a lot of really? Those as well, but he follows a lot of people.
Okay,
for marketing reasons.
Yeah.
I told your BBF about apple pie, the drink. I know you don't drink, but does your family make the stovetop version? No, I don't. No, we don't. I'm sorry, we don't. I'm
stovetop
I'm,
version of what? Stuffing?
I don't know. I'm lost here, Van.
I'm lost too.
Rock Hard Joel Wood says, I think you said that you wouldn't be surprised if fences aren't being mended. Do you think Punk is actively trying to mend fences with WWE people he has heat with? He had told people that he was looking to do that in some capacity. But again, I got to be careful of what I say there. Not trying to cause an uproar. It's just that's common sense to mend fences with the biggest company. But I can't speak to whether or not that's happened. K775 says, feels like Bailey or Priest is getting turned on Saturday. Pause. So I'm leaning on Bailey taking the pin and getting beaten up. So that's the big thing. They're teasing dissension. They're not going to have both of them leave their respective groups. But considering the nature of damage control, which is four people plus Bailey, and Dakota Kai could come back in a couple months, I could see Bailey getting attacked and then sort of helping out Shotzi, Charlotte, Bianca. But again, why would they trust Bailey?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't think anything is happening with Judgment Day so long as Damien's got the briefcase and the champion is a babyface.
Yeah.
So I don't think a turn is happening there. Bailey for sure. I mean, they're really teasing it. I could definitely see Bailey be the one to eat the pin. Doesn't mean they're necessarily going to turn on her like right after the match. But I think it's going to continue to go in that direction. And then I could definitely see Bailey, Charlotte, and Becky realigning. It's too bad Sasha's not around. But I could see those three realigning once the split happens.
Yeah. Ryan says, Sean, are you surprised WWE hasn't approached their free agents to start extension talks? What are the contract statuses of Cody, Charlotte, and Seth? Cody's got like at least into 2025, at least. Charlotte, I don't know. Seth, I am working on nailing down. There are a lot of you Twitter rumors, but nothing 100% confirmed. And I don't do the Twitter rumor stuff. But I'm surprised they haven't approached a lot of their people. I'd be trying to nail down Becky, Drew, Owens immediately. Tony says, how much of a standing ovation did Hangman and Swerve get when they came to the back? Wrestle votes really have loved the match too. Seeing that has me curious if you've heard of WWE stars, employees, about their thoughts on the match. Well, Wrestle votes is not a current WWE employee, but yes, I was talking to some WWE talent that were in favor of it, enjoyed it, thought that that's what that match and that feud needed. So yeah, I've heard some positive stuff.
Let's talk Full Gear for a minute now. So first thing I want to talk about was the Texas Death Match. And I wanted to ask you, you're more up to speed on social media than I am. I thought it was a career or a star making match for Swerve. And I saw negativity on social media about Swerve afterwards. What the hell was that about? Is that people trying to
steal his thunder, be goofy little farming engagement assholes to capitalize on stuff like that? Like, listen, if there's something worth criticizing him over, sure. But like, Now that you can get money off of stupid ass replies, you're going to see some of the dumbest bullshit you've ever seen. That's why I make fun of it all the time. And I'm like, Brett or Sean, no matter what.
Yeah, I see that.
It's just, and what I'm actually happy that the number is dwindling from Twitter. I'm actually happy that Twitter's paying out less, because hopefully there are people that won't see nearly as much benefit in saying stupid shit for the sake of doing it. You're always going to have those people that are losers and do it for free anyway, but still glad that it's not nearly as rewarded.
The only thing I'll say negative about that match, Hangman and Swerve, was the blood drinking. Just because
we're talking about it right after this on Fightful Select.
Okay. Maybe then you'll enlighten me. So just as a fan, if that was pre-approved, and I'm going to assume it was, I don't think that they would improvise that. If that was pre-approved, even if they were tested beforehand, there's so many risks with ingesting blood. And I realize that Hangman did the spit afterwards, but there's so many risks with ingesting blood. It doesn't belong in a wrestling match, and Tony Khan should know better. But aside from that, I had no problems with the match at all. People were talking about it was too violent.
Loved it.
Have you seen stuff with friggin' Abdul the Butcher and Mick Foley and Terry Funk and the Sheepherders? There was nothing worse in that match.
Yeah, you would have people all the time say, well, it's too violent, buddy, in the 80s.
Oh,
good God.
It was ridiculous.
Because they busted out a cinder block and Hangman drank the blood. All right. Well, I mean, they used to bleed buckets all over each other.
Yes.
Hey, maybe go look at Dusty Rhodes' forehead or Devon Dudley's forehead or anybody like that.
Oh, Abby would put quarters in there as like a prank. You know what I mean? Bruiser Brody. Like as a fan in the 80s, I watched a lot of like Abdullah Bruiser Brody and you know, stuff in Japan, the original Sheik. Hangman Swerve was pretty tame. With the exception of the blood drinking. The blood drinking, I don't think should have happened, and I think that Tony should be smarter than that. Okay, you're obviously going to tell me some stuff I don't know later.
I love it. No, I loved it. I didn't love it for me, but I thought...
It's a dangerous spot. They shouldn't do it.
It is.
And especially, you got to remember, too, this is a different world now than the 80s. They got corporate sponsorships.
You're right. You're right. And the pizza cutter spot cost them Domino's.
Exactly.
So, I mean.
Yeah, they got to be smarter than that. Everything else, though.
Amazing match. So here's my method. I used to do match ratings, right? But I really hate anything that conjures up a negative reaction by design. And too many people would just whine and bitch. So now what I do is I say, okay, I'm not rating matches, but if I see one that hit my 10 out of 10 on a scale, I'll say that. This one hit 10 out of 10 on my scale. Like, I thought for pro wrestling, ooh, it was perfect. It was so perfect. And to the person that sent the Humper chat asking if it hit my 10 out of 10, yes, I know I didn't announce it on the post show. My bad. I will put together like a running document of those, and we'll do it on Select or something, because I thought about doing a rewatch of some of those, but thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I had no issue with it. And it was funny to me that, and again, I understand they do it for clout. I get it. But a guy like Jim Cornette, who was around for so much shit in the 80s, to complain about it, it definitely felt like a clout thing. I had no issue with it. And again, maybe because I'm an old school fan watching it, it was no more violent than anything I've ever seen in wrestling matches. Aside from the blood drinking, like I think that Tony Khan's got to be smarter than that in a corporate world. But otherwise, there was nothing in there that made me go, oh, my God, that's too violent. Nothing at all.
I thought they played it off so well. Like I've mentioned this on the air. I was a little bit like, oh, really, Swerve's doing some of this interview in character. I see now why he didn't want to step out of character one bit for our interview last week. And I completely understand that. And I'm like, all right, so now down the line, I'll ask him a little bit more about that and the process behind it. But everything that I heard was there was a lot of give and take there. But, you know, Brian Alvarez had kind of put it out there. Will Washington had a lot to do with this. That makes me really damn proud that a guy that did such great work at Fightful is over there doing such incredible things. And Jimmy, you know what they say? Red means green. I've long sang the praises of athleticgreens.com/Fightful, specifically AG1. Vitamins and minerals pre and probiotics to help keep you from getting sick, that phytonutrient blend, the digestive support that regulates your digestive system, the immunity support, the adaptogens, plus that energy and metabolic support. I'm going to tell you how it's affected me personally. My digestion is way better with AG1 through athleticgreens.com/fightful. I don't get sick nearly as much. I got those pre and probiotics, that immunity support. I take a lot less caffeine throughout the day because I've got that energy and metabolic support. My metabolism has improved tenfold since using AG1. And as I always say, you want to be drinking your multivitamin. Right now, you get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free travel packs when you go to athleticgreens.com/fightful and get AG1. Whether I'm at home or on the road, one scoop or one pouch, 8 ounces of water, drink it, you're good. athleticgreens.com/fightful. Let's get to these super chats and humper chats. We got plenty of them. Get them in right now. Humperchats.com, youtube.com/Fightful. Matt Hennessy sent a big one. Big thank you, Matt. You're always like so generous to us, and that means a lot. It says, Triple H's patience with getting certain acts over starting to pay off. Dragon Lee getting good reactions. Oh, he got a great reaction against Axiom. It says, there were Johnny wrestling chants in Gargano versus Kaiser. His patience is starting to pay off, and it's great to see. That is important, Jimmy. Like, how many times have we seen them? Well, here's Veer for 2 weeks. Well, now Veer's gone. Like, you don't give these people any semblance of time to get over. And that's something that I had heard, Jimmy, was important to Triple H. He wants, every time they go back to the same building, he wants those people to be over just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I think that's a smart method.
No, I mean, you could definitely see, you know, Hunter's got his favorites just like everybody else, and you can definitely see who he wants to get over. My only gripe is that I would like to see more character development, because kind of like what you talk about with AEW all the time, Dragon Lee's a great worker, but I've seen guys like Dragon Lee 100 times. So the reason that Rey Mysterio became a big star wasn't just because he could go in the ring. He became a big star because he had this character that people could very easily invest in emotionally. He was a likable kind of character. Dragon Lee, I want to see more of that. I want to see more character development out of him. And Gargano, too. I'd like to see more of that. Gargano, we saw that he's got a sense of humor. They showed that before.
I think they got to get him over in the ring first, and then you highlight that. You highlight the main thing that can get them over, which is the in-ring, and then you see the personality.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We got Rob Ron saying thoughts of the Hausman MJF report about WWE thinking he's quietly re-signed with AEW. Well, I would imagine if they haven't had talks with him, that's what they think. That's what I believe too, but there's no evidence to prove that he has re-signed. But I think he's almost certainly re-signed.
We've talked about this a couple times on this podcast. Like, Tony Khan would be batshit crazy to put MJF all over his show. Almost in every segment, it feels like. He's got 4 guys that want a title shot. He'd be crazy to put them all over a show if he didn't have them re-signed. And so that alone tells me that.
Kind of like you did with Cody and Jade. A little bit
maybe,
different
stuff. MJF, though, is everywhere. MJF's like almost every quarter.
You know? I agree. Bizarro Big L says, hey, fellas, don't know if anyone asked, but how big was Bray's influence on Swerve? You know what? I don't have an answer to that. I only spoke to Bray personally a couple times. I can ask Swerve, but it's an appropriate time when I would ask that. Says the subtle tribute at Full Gear was nice. It was nice that he included Bray's design on his tights. Do you think Swerve is using some Bray psychology for inspiration? Yes, 100%. Swerve is so smart, and he takes inspiration from a wide array of people, from John Cena, from Chris Jericho, and of course from Bray Wyatt. Any number of those people for sure. It says, great holiday. Mine's off to a great start. Matt Canada is gone. Well, you know what, buddy? I wish somebody else was calling the plays in Cincinnati as well. Van Twinblade says, apple pie is a shine. You take apple cider, apple juice, boil them in a pot, throw cinnamon sticks in, let it go for 2 hours, add a handle of Everclear, let it cool, then filter it back in the jugs you got liquid in.
Okay.
None of my family are big drinkers, and I've never drank, so not a thing I've done. That is very interesting, though, and honestly, the rest of it sounds pretty delicious. Bronson Meat says, Sean and Jimmy Collision is 3 hours, goes head-to-head against Survivor Series. Does this Saturday's Collision hit its lowest rating to date?
No.
No, I think that actually the one against SmackDown will be lower, because naturally fewer people are going to be watching Peacock than are watching Fox.
I agree. Now, if he's talking about, is it going to be the lowest in his regular time slot? Maybe. Possible.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, the one on Friday, I mean, what did they hit? Less than 300 on Friday, which wasn't, again, I saw a lot of people like WWE loyalists, like celebrating practically. It wasn't unexpected, man. You're going against a broadcast television show in its regular time slot. And whenever you move nights, there's always going to be a hit. So it wasn't unexpected.
I'd get the hell off that night, though. I'd get off Friday. I'd get off Saturday. I would ask him for Thursday. Well,
So I talked about this on social media, and people were hitting me up saying, well, it's Warner Brothers' decision. And they're not wrong, but a lot of it has to do with Tony not wanting to be on a football night. Right?
Yeah.
So it limits what you can do.
I'd ask for Tuesdays. I'd go back. Go back against NXT, man. Like,
yeah,
anything you can do. Plus, if you do Tuesday or Thursday, you get the back-to-back nights for talent. You can get. I don't think they should be doing back-to-back nights for venues because that will hurt ticket sales. But
I agree. Saturday's not good.
What's the likelihood the ROH would take over Rampage for the Friday slot after World's End? Not happening. They've That'll get worked into whatever the next deal is. It's just not going to happen. Call Me Crazy says WWE's been doing a lot of international pay-per-views. They have, and it's very smart. It globalizes your brand. It adds buzz. And also, it has shown that people will tune in the afternoon to watch wrestling. I love watching afternoon wrestling, Jimmy.
And they're getting site fees.
That's
a big reason why they're doing it. Yeah.
They're getting site fees. KE775 says, I don't think that Punk shows up Saturday, but I think there's a decent shot he does something in WWE this next year. I can see Endeavor pushing for it. Yeah, if I were Endeavor and I could sign him to some sort of Endeavor contract where maybe he does some MMA commentary, maybe he does some WWE appearances, maybe he can do one thing or another. That way, in case some bad shit happens in WWE, they can just switch him over. Well, there you go.
It's a unique dynamic because Ari's always made it clear, like Dana White heads up the UFC side, Nick Khan heads up the WWE side. Sure. So it's, and I'm sure that they would want Hunter's input because Hunter knows a lot more about Punk than any of those guys. So
yeah,
it's an interesting situation they got going on there.
We have so many super chats. James Stalling says, so happy Daniel Garcia is getting a chance to compete. Show what he can do. Have you seen the new belt, Sean? I have not seen the new belt, but I'm very happy because Daniel Garcia is underused, but underutilized probably. Speaking of that, is there a reason why Eddie Kingston defends the ROH title and New Japan Strong title together? Because he wants to and because it's important to him. He said that he likes doing that. He wanted to hold a title in New Japan that was very important to him. He also wanted to hold a title in ROH, and now he wants to establish a triple crown. It's important to him. That's why. Joel Wood says, since Hammerstone is a free agent in 2024, what percentage do you have him going to WWE? I'd be shocked if he didn't get a WWE tryout, Jimmy. Alex Hammerstone? Yeah.
He almost looks like a young Hunter, Triple H, sort of. He's because he's got that look. He's got the physique and the blonde hair.
Oh, buddy, hold on. Wait till I show you him with his long hair.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But no, Jimmy.
No?
Oh, no. I'm talking about before, not now.
Okay.
Like, this guy used to get so many comparisons.
Yeah.
Before he did that. Like,
and he's got he
specifically cut his hair and changed up his look.
To not look like Hunter?
To not look like Hunter for a while.
Okay.
And this is what he had looked like before, if I can pull this up. Hate the dead air, but you know what?
It's no,
the
he...
The story.
He's got the classic WWE aesthetic. Like, people used to joke around. Yeah, there you go. Holy shit.
And he said that he never tried to look like him, but it just happened.
Wait a second. The guy on the left was Hammerstone?
That was Hammerstone.
Put that up again. I thought they were both pictures of Hunter. I honestly thought they were both. Are you kidding?
No, that's him. Here's another one. In the same gear.
He looks a lot different now.
Oh yeah, his hair is brighter. He tried to separate himself.
I've never seen that. Wow, he really looked like him.
Also, incredible in the ring, can compete at a main event level. I would definitely see him getting a shot. Any word on AEW on Max? I think what will happen is all of it will be shopped together. I think that's what's going to happen is the whole deal is going to be shocked together. It says, I think announcing shows months in advance like WWE does would help. And what should they do to get their ticket sales up? Jimmy, you have had a lot of great ideas that you have mentioned in the past about that.
Overpriced. They do very little local marketing. There's been so many people on social media that have said, I didn't know. Because if you don't watch Dynamite every week, you got to remind these people. And there, a lot of people on social media have said, I didn't know that they were in town until like the week before. So overpriced. And let's be honest, creative. And I was going to talk. I don't know if we got time now unless I do and the list goes on. I was going to talk about how I don't think MGF's babyface character is working.
Oh, I do.
Nope.
I didn't like the creative of Full Gear at all, but I think he's very good. But oh, I think he was way overbooked.
So what I'm saying is not an indictment on MJF. MJF's a generational talent. He can go in the ring, he can talk, he can improvise, he's got good comedic timing. I'm not talking about an indictment of MJF. The babyface character, the run of the babyface character is not working. And when you look at,
I think it is.
No. So
how is it not?
Okay. So traditionally in pro wrestling for decades, what they use in part to gauge either an increase in business or a decrease in business is the world champion and the world title program. That's what they use as a gauge, has been forever. And whether it be, and you can always see a correlation, whether it be Hogan in the 80s, whether it be the NWO, whether it be Austin McMahon, whether it be the Bloodline, or on the other side of the coin, like Nash's champion wasn't a big draw. There's a correlation. MGF's been champion for a year. He's been a babyface for 6 months, whatever it's been. The problem, in my opinion, this is my opinion, is he's in a program that's high school shit. You know, I love the fans now, and I love my best friend, Adam Cole, and best friends stick together. That's what they do. And best friends have each other's back. I don't think people are buying it. I don't think it's world title caliber.
So here's what I'll say about that. I have always thought, even dating back to Shawn Michaels 96, when people would criticize him, I'm like, no, imagine how bad ticket sales would be without him if somebody else was up there. With MJF, he has had to battle the own brand being diluted, his own title being diluted by another guy, a huge controversy surrounding CM Punk. Not once, but twice he kind of experienced that. And then the guy he was established in a program with tearing up his ankle. Like there have been constant hurdles thrown.
So I don't disagree with you at all. Like creative has been a problem, and going into All In, remember I told you going into
not even creative, just injuries and fights and all that. And then that splitting up the shows and all that. Like it's not easy. You effectively like diluted your own tickets by doing Collision.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, but I think the direction of MJF has played a part in it. And when I look at MJF as a heel, when he was a heel, right? He was the most offensive, the most controversial, the most disingenuous, the most abrasive heel, probably since Piper in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
Right? He was the most offensive heel. When Piper turned babyface in 86, he turned babyface because the fans recognized a new wrestler they hated, which is Adrian Adonis. And it was at a time when people didn't understand the gay lifestyle. It was a very different time. So here came Roddy Piper, who not only took the Flower Shop off the air, which people loved, but he came out and said, I'm not running for president. I don't want you to love me, but I don't fucking like that guy. And people were with it. That became his babyface run. MJF became a babyface for no reason. He became a babyface because...
That isn't true. That really? Isn't true whatsoever. No. He became a babyface almost on accident because he got taken to the limit by Adam Cole, who he saw as a major threat. And he became friends with Adam Cole to avoid the threat of Adam Cole eventually dethroning him. Except in knowing Adam Cole, he realized, oh, I took a lot of shortcuts to get here, but I'm actually really, really good at this. And the qualities that he pretended to have are now qualities that he has, and he's not saying anything. You've got one show, WWE Raw, talking about Seth Rollins, who I like, and they're talking about, wow, breakneck pace. He wrestles once a month. MJF is wrestling twice every pay-per-view, wrestling against Daniel Garcia on Collision. He has become a fighting champion and developed this confidence and all this stuff while also very clearly being like an over-the-top white meat baby face while also saying, no, I am still a piece of shit and I'm not changing any of that. He doesn't change necessarily what he is, except for the over-the-top white meat babyface thing. And along the way, it's like he faked the role so much that he faked it until he made it. That's what he did with that title. He was convinced that he needed to fake being friends with Adam Cole. And now it's just second nature for this guy to be world champion, compete in these top title matches, to the point to where Daniel Garcia said, "Give me one." And he said, "Yeah, okay." Like, I think we have seen the evolution of MJF as a character within this championship along the way here. Like, that's how I view it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you about the fighting champion thing. And again, I'm not trying to shit on MJF because I think a lot of MJF. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the creative direction. Like when I saw him at the post pay-per-view scrum and he was saying, "I love the fans so much. I love my best friend Adam Cole so much, and best friends stick up for each other and best friends." And I just watched that and I thought to myself, that's not a world title program. That's not gonna put butts in the seats. If Adam Cole is the devil.
It is when the mega powers explode, Jimmy.
They're not Hogan and Savage.
Yeah, they are. They're way better.
All right. If Adam Cole is the devil, and it sure seems like he's going to be, and I noticed, let me finish. I noticed the subtle teases at Full Gear with Adam Cole. Like, he didn't try to hit Jay White with the Ring of Honor belt. He kind of slid it to him. He didn't really try too hard to get the ring to MJF. He just put it on the canvas so that Jay White could get it. They do these subtle teases so it looks like he's the devil. And I understand that the injury put a wrench in everything. But even though he's injured, I think they need to do the reveal because I think they need to wrap this up. I think they need to do the reveal. And if Adam Cole's too injured and can't wrestle yet, well, then have MJF take out his minions first to buy time. Then do the match with Cole, beat Cole. I think they need to move on from this. And if I'm being very honest, I would go with the hot hand. I would have Swerve go over MJF for the belt. That's what I would do.
Because, I would too.
Yeah, Swerve is the hot hand. And again, you know, when you look at a building that did 7,000 the last time they were there and now it did 3,000, you can't say that the world title program has nothing to do with it because it does. Like it's an element. And I think that MJF against Swerve is money. I think MJF chasing the title is money. I think MJF Cole's not. And I don't think it's gonna be a massive draw.
I definitely think there's one thing we can agree on. Adam Cole's way more jacked than Hulk Hogan was. So.
And a nicer human being. How's that?
That's for sure.
A nicer That's human sure. being. There you go.
We still got to get through these super chats. We got a bunch. K775 says, "Think we see any NXT call-ups post-Survivor Series?" No, I'm thinking Rumble. Amir says, "Where's Ricochet?" He got a concussion a couple weeks ago.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, and that match. Tom Trench says, "With cable companies bleeding subscribers percentage, do you think there's any chance that AEW's new media rights include some sort of streaming deal?" Yeah, that's what I mean. I think they'll be packaged together, library, pay-per-view, TV deal. I think that's what they're trying to come to terms with. But if they can't come to terms with it with WBD, they'll have to shop it elsewhere, Jimmy.
The subscription thing actually is beneficial to AEW. Mm-hmm. Because this is why they talk about live sports are supposedly DVR proof and wrestling's considered live sport. So that's not a bad thing for them about cable cutters.
We got Mr. Acosta saying, "I know the Continental Classic is going to be fun, but I wish there were a couple more newer guys so new stars can be made. Would have swapped out White, Lethal, and Mox since they just lost at the pay-per-view." Well, I mean, everybody's going to lose in this tournament. Nobody's going to run the table. But I do think it's good that they put Brody King in one bracket as a singles guy and put Daniel Garcia in another. To me, that's a good couple of people to put in there where they're going to get highlighted, Jimmy. But what do you think?
Should be a showcase for Swerve Strickland. Swerve Strickland's got to win it. He's got to go undefeated. I just look at it like momentum. Look at LA Knight. You know what I mean? I think you roll with the momentum. I think that Swerve, you know, just being good in the ring's not enough, right? You have to have character development. Swerve's got that. And he beat Hangman Page twice. He's got momentum. I think you have him run the gauntlet and Swerve wins it. And not to rehash, but I'd have him go after MJF. Win the tournament and then go after MJF.
Who do you guys believe will win both this Royal Rumble, both men and women? Do we finally get The Rock this year at Mania? I don't think The Rock's going to be at Mania. I'm tired of believing it. I think it'll be Cody and Becky winning the Royal Rumble. What do you think?
Cody for sure, because they got to get him and Roman in there again. Let me see. So right now, Rhea is the Raw champion and Io is the women's champion, and they're probably going to do something. I think you're right, because I think they're going to do something with Damage Control and Io, maybe Bayley or something. And so that would leave Rhea and Becky. Yeah, I think you're good. Cody and Becky.
Rock Hard Joel Wood says, my complaint is the ROH and New Japan titles are being unified, but there's a lack of ROH and New Japan talent in the tournament. No, there's not. You've got an ROH world champion in that tournament. You got a former ROH world champion in that tournament in Claudio. You got people that are rich in the history of ROH in there. New Japan, yeah, you can absolutely say that. I could definitely agree with that. But is that something that you have an issue with, Jimmy?
No. They've been showcasing Ring of Honor belts on AEW television every week, basically since they acquired the brand. So I don't really think anything of it. I do agree with people that said it would have been nice if Omega was in there because he's one of their legendary in-ring guys. Maybe even Ibushi. Is Ibushi full-time with them now?
Technically. I mean, he's signed full-time, but I don't know how often he'll be over.
Okay, because he might have been an interesting one too. Sure. But one thing I like about these tournaments is that you give newer people a shot. You give them an opportunity. And I think that's what they're doing with guys like Brody and Garcia and maybe even Jay Lethal. But Swerve is the guy. I'd have, like I said, Swerve run the gauntlet in that tournament.
Nick says, Sean, you're the GOAT. Fightful Select is the best $5 in the business. Saturday is going to be must see. Nick, thank you so much. It's very kind of you to say. I really appreciate that a lot. We're going to wrap up, guys, but we're going to get these in. AEW need to turn MJF heel. That's the money act. I think right now they're going to see how that goes. And if it makes sense, I do think they will do it. I think he'll of course be a heel in the future. That's just the way that MJF works.
I think him as a babyface is okay, but him in this current story is not.
Yeah. John Taylor says, no question this week. I want to tell you both I appreciate Fightful and Select, best $5 in the business. John, thank you so much. That's very nice of you. We greatly appreciate that. Who do you think returns to WWE first, Mercedes or Trinity? And when do you think either one happens? I think after Trinity finishes up with Impact, she could head back to WWE. It seems like a slam dunk. And also, I think could add a little bit of spice to the Usos or Jimmy as well. I think that would be very, very cool to do.
What do you think about B-Fab being hinted at joining Bobby and the Prophets?
Good. Let's see if it works. Interesting. Let's see if it works. And I don't know what's going to happen with Ashanti the Adonis, but apparently they haven't had plans since Top Dollar left, so... Sorry, just joined. Do we know how Randy's doing physically going into Saturday? It's impossible for me to know that because his doctors didn't want him to wrestle, but we're going to find out. It's going to be made abundantly clear over the next month how he's doing physically. They'll be able to hide some stuff in more games, though. Not a lot of bumping there.
You have any expectations at all for Randy?
I could see him leaning into doing the punt more. With spinal fusion, right? Like I could see that happening. Will Chisholm says, seeing Vince on the sidelines is still crazy to me. TKO doing Vince like Vince did his dad. Vince bang bust his dad too, didn't he? Not really.
I mean, his dad willingly sold him the company, but
yes,
He didn't know he was going to go national.
But, yeah, and you know. He also often said that if he did know, then probably wouldn't have sold it to him. But I just wanted to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving for whatever you're doing tomorrow. Jimmy, after I hose myself down after mock swerve, I'll start smoking turkey legs, ribs, and pork belly meat forever. I have to eat a meat-normous meal in the future. Like, I've got it. Like, I always hear about how this dude smokes stuff.
Oh, is that right?
And I don't cook as much, and I'm going to start. But, yeah, I've got to have one of his. We got, do you know if Punk and Tony have talked since All Out? I don't know that. I would be surprised if they have, though. I'd be surprised. Hi, Jimmy. Any thoughts on Thurston's report about AEW's profitability? Is the extra pay-per-view strategy a byproduct of that? And is it good for growth?
So what we talked about this on this podcast before Brandon's report. Remember, I told you on this podcast, I don't think AEW is profitable yet. And Brandon more or less said that in his report. Of course, he broke everything down because Brandon is way better with Excel and shit than I am. Yeah. But I don't believe they're profitable yet either. I do think the extra pay-per-view is part of that strategy. I also think, though, they're doing it as an experiment because that would be part of a streaming plan, I think. I think they're doing it to see the interest because if they get a streaming deal, maybe it'll become a monthly thing on Max or something. But their next television deal should get them profitable. I'm sure that's what Tony Khan is expecting.
Any news on Scorpio Sky? Should have been in the Continental Classic. No, there were some pitches for him, but they should have been using him by now. Heard anything about Jamie Hayter? She wasn't expected back this year. You think if Becky stays, Seth does? Yeah, I do. I think they'll probably do that. I mean, they travel together. They, you know, it's, I think so for sure. Ryan says, I want Jimmy's take on what happened with Vince and TKO, with TKO putting their SEC filings that Vince will have a negative impact on their business, to Vince dumping $8.4 million in stocks. Oh, it was more than $8.4 million in stocks. It was 8.4 million shares.
I think that's what he meant. Yeah,
hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah,
it was like 600 some million, I think.
Yeah, it was insane.
So, long story short, you know, as I kind of talked about already, I think that Endeavor knew what they were doing. I think that their plan was to tell Vince what he wanted to hear in order to get the deal. Remember, they did it. It was a stock deal. There was no cash up front. And so I think they did what they had to do. They told him what they had to tell him. And now I think they're planting the seeds for a no confidence vote. That's just what I think. However, I think that Vince's circle, because I'm not going to credit Vince with too much of this stuff because Vince is old and doesn't really know what he's doing. Vince's circle, I think, told Vince. And I'm sure that Vince himself, when he did this deal, probably wanted to, you know, didn't totally trust the process. I'm not going to be the guy anymore. I want to make sure my money, you know, is there. And so he didn't want to lock up on his shares. And now, you know, you see how things are going, and he's turned around, flipped the switch, and sold a bunch of them. I think that one is a result of the other. I think that Vince and his people have recognized maybe things aren't quite going the way that we had hoped. Let's get our cash. And I think that's what happened. So we'll see how 2024 goes.
Who would we like to see win the AEW title from MJF?
I feel like I'm a Swerve Mark today. Swerve Strickland, he's with great. The hot hand. Well, like right now, if you could think right now, Sean, of the AEW equivalent to LA Knight, I'm talking to guy that like just hit, you know what I mean? The AEW equivalent to LA Knight, who is it? It's Swerve Strickland. Who else is there?
Yeah.
There is nobody else.
That, I think that he is the one that,
yes,
like I look at and I'm like, damn, that's.
But in terms of momentum and in terms of like now he's beaten Hangman twice. He's got momentum. He's got presence. Swerve's the guy. There's nobody else, I don't think, that could step in, take that title and have the crowd accept it right now. He's the guy.
Yeah. We've got Rock Hard Joel Wood saying when Austin had neck surgery, he still did the stunner, but modified it. Do you see Randy doing that with the RKO? The stunner was more about lower back and your ass than it was your neck. And Randy, it's all you're laying on your back the whole time.
That's right.
You're landing on your back, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
John Wick says, how would you rebuild the ROH title?
Television title.
The TV title. Oof. Mm-hmm. I think you got to immediately reestablish it by putting all-time classic ROH matches on there. Have people go after it that means something in wrestling. That way it appears that way. I wouldn't have done it like that. And I know agree. A lot of people, I just wouldn't have done it like that. But you got to make it seem desired. We got Will Chisholm saying, y'all know, but when Vince says he's helping out with the TV deal, is that Nick Khan's job? So Vince is just a face? Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Vince was simply a mascot at this point. I think Nick Khan probably has a lot of say and a lot of influence on almost anything and everything that involves dollar signs in WWE. And he's one of the all-time greatest hires in WWE history, point blank period. Nick Khan being brought into that company completely revolutionized that company and says, I would let Bayley win the Rumble. They turn on her on that SmackDown like they did with Randy. I would love Bayley winning the Royal Rumble. That'd be cool too. But what about Nick?
Nick Khan? Yeah. I mean, the conspiracy theorist in me could almost be like, I wonder if him and Ari talked before he took that job. But no, Nick Khan is a very competent executive. I believe that he was part of the last round of rights 5 years ago, I believe. And the things that they've changed that have worked for them, like Saturday pay-per-views, that was a Nick Khan thing. That's worked out really well. He's a very competent executive. I think that this round of rights, I haven't heard about Vince being involved, like the SmackDown deal to USA, the CW deal for NXT. I haven't heard about Vince being involved. Wouldn't surprise me if, let's say, they're dealing with a television executive that's a wrestling fan. You bring Vince in, have him sit in a chair. You get to ask Vince about, I don't know, Steve Austin in 99. You know what I'm saying? But otherwise, Vince isn't. He's not doing any negotiation on this stuff.
We are finally getting to our last three Super Chats. We are going to head over to the List Goes On after this. AEW Injury News, Hangman Swerve News. I've got a full Q&A coming for you guys tomorrow morning on FightfulSelect.com as well. Just Mass says, is Randy back in full time in some capacity? That I don't know. I will be asking this weekend. Ronan Mike says, with both promotions having lengthy title reigns, how do you get over your talent? Love it when a UFC champ loses after a long reign. It opens up the division like the middleweight title right now. Everyone seems like a viable contender. Well, in wrestling also, it's almost like your first contender almost doesn't even count in a lot of ways. By the way, Joel, we got to wrap up Super Chats, by the way. I saw you sending one in. But it's almost like when Seth and Becky won and they put him up against Lacey and Baron, we knew they didn't have a chance type of thing. So there are pitfalls to that as well. To me, I like to put people in positions where you go, neither one of these guys can afford to lose, because that's the point. You build up a challenger and you think he can't afford to lose this match against another person that says he can't afford to lose this match. Because guess what? Somebody's got to lose this match. That's just how it is.
I mean, Roman Cody at WrestleMania, everybody thought Cody was winning that match.
There you go.
So that was definitely one that was built up, you know, in that capacity. I do think with both guys, MGF and with Roman, and even with Gunther, all of them are at a point now where whoever beats them, they're getting a massive opportunity, and they got to make sure they go with the right person. Cody, I think, is going to be the guy. I still think Swerve is the guy to beat MJF. Gunther, I don't know, man. Like, who would you
Gunther.
Pick?
I wouldn't have anybody beat Gunther until you couldn't deny it anymore. Gunther is that guy. That promo he cut on Miz this week was one of the best of the
year.
He's
very good.
Yep. Incredible. Rockhard says, is there anything Vince does in WWE that could be hard to replace when he's gone? Anything at all? No, there is nothing that Vince McMahon does anymore that would be hard to replace. And how do I know that? Because they didn't have a problem replacing it for 6 months. And when Vince saw that, he pushed his way back in.
Yeah, I mean, Vince for years was known as that cutthroat business guy. But now they got Nick Khan. And Hunter's not dumb either. Hunter's a smart guy. But whatever Hunter's shortcomings are in business due to maybe inexperience, they more than make up for it with Nick. And the other way, whatever shortcomings Nick has in terms of wrestling, they more than make it up with Hunter. So I almost feel like those two guys have replaced Vince McMahon. And with all due respect to him, I don't want to be ageist or anything, but with all due respect to him, he is not today what he was 30 years ago. Like, this is not the Vince McMahon that went national with WWE and beat the shit out of WCW. This is not the same guy. It's not. That's just how it is.
Last one, New Lack City says, I was meh on Continental Classic until I saw the 12 wrestlers. This is going to be exactly what AEW fans have been asking for, showcasing guys like Andrade, Garcia, Swerve, Brody. Give me Eddie versus Swerve final, please. I think Swerve should make it to the final, but also I feel like some of these early matches, if Swerve loses two straight opening matches, there is a built-in excuse, Jimmy, because of what he went through on Saturday. It is.
That's true. I suppose. Well, he's not. I don't think he's working this week, is he?
I'll have to look.
I can look right now.
But I mean, that is a built-in excuse to say he's beat to shit.
Actually, this week he's got Jay Lethal on Dynamite tonight.
If he loses to Jay Lethal,
right? Exactly. Exactly. Like if they had it on Swerve Moxley,
I would have done Swerve Brody King, and you give Brody King a big ass win early on. He mows down Swerve, who is just beat all to shit. And then if you want Jay Lethal to beat him after the Hangman and the Brody thing, well, Swerve's already in a hole 0-2. He's got to fight his way back. Cause the reality is a lot of people are going to sympathize with Swerve Strickland after what he went through.
The only issue is Brody's in the blue league. Swerve's in the gold.
Is he in the blue league? Okay.
Yeah. So you got Moxley. Sure. Yep. So you got Moxley's in the gold league. Mark Briscoe, Roosh, Jay Lethal, Jay White. Jay White could beat Swerve.
There you go.
Right? He could beat
Swerve.
There
you go. You're right. You're absolutely right. Damn. I could see Brody beating Bryan Danielson then. Either way, guys, Fightful Select, we're going over there. We went way over time today.
Yes, we did.
So we got to do 10 minutes on Select right now. Until next time, we're out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.